This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Political conflicts over waste management have been felt at all levels of government. Local governments who want to manage their own trash have fought other local governments hosting huge landfills that depend on trash generated hundreds of miles away. Garbage in, garbage out. That is the new book, Solving the Problems with Long-Distance Trash Transport. Author Vivian Thompson joins me live in studio. She's a professor of environmental sciences at the University of Virginia, and she's also vice chair of the Virginia Air Pollution Control Board. Happy holidays. How are you? It's good to see you.
Same to you. It's wonderful to be here.
Absolutely. Been looking forward to this, and as we were talking before we went on the air, very germane topic to those of us here in Central Virginia who are following the news of Van der Linde's recycling and the Ravana Solid Waste Authority, all of which, you know, that's not the topic of this book, but it sort of underscores the fact that this subject is just so full of stories of lawsuits and power and money, and yet we're talking about trash.
Yes, indeed. And that certainly typifies the study of trash. You, even if it isn't exactly in the headlines all the time, the more you look at it, the more you find issues of money and power and politics. And that's certainly one of the reasons I was drawn to it.
Yeah. Now, tell us first, before we start talking about trash, Vivian Thompson, give us a 101, where you're from and how you ended up studying environmental sciences.
Well, I'm a Yankee born and bred. I was born actually in the number one trash importing state, Pennsylvania, but I've called Virginia home for over 20 years now. My first career was at the Environmental Protection Agency, where I did air pollution policy work, and now I'm a professor of environmental policy at UVA. And I'm also, as you pointed out, vice chair of the State Air Pollution Control Board.
Good deal. So tell me where the book came from. I'm curious what you're working on when you realized, hey, I got a book. This is something I really need to spend some time on.
Well, it really came together, I would say, over a period of years. I first became interested in trash, maybe the Oscar the Grouch, I love trash, back when I worked at EPA, and I actually helped to develop some of the first national air pollution standards for landfills. You might not think of landfills as a source of air pollution, but they are. And so I became intrigued by the pollution associated with landfills at that point. Then about 10 years ago, you might remember, you mentioned the current controversies here in Charlottesville and Albemarle, but we had a big problem. What should we do with the Ivy landfill? You might remember that.
I do. I was a reporter writing about it and breaking some stories on that. I followed that for years back in the 90s.
Right. Well, I was on a city-county task force trying to figure out what to do about the Ivy landfill. And my interest in trash was re-stimulated at that point. It occurred to me, well, if we close this Ivy landfill, we'll be sending our trash to somebody else's community. In fact, sort of reinforcing one of the primary lessons of trash with this, which is there's really no away. Trash doesn't go away. But
it just finds another hole in somebody else's backyard.
It does. Yeah. It just goes to someone else's backyard where it pollutes their air, land, and water. But I would have to say this book. So my interest in trash accumulated over the years, but I would say that this book kind of appeared on the horizon in the late 1990s when Mayor Rudy Giuliani and Governor Gilmore were really going at it. You remember that when there was all that back and forth about New York City's trash coming to Virginia?
Big headlines in that story.
It was.
And what was that all about? It's about Virginia importing New York trash?
It was. And, you know, one of the things that is kind of not reported on so much anymore, but certainly was then, is that Virginia is the second largest importer of trash in the country. And at that time, there was a lot of back and forth between Mayor Giuliani and Governor Gilmore. Mayor Giuliani, remember, said, oh, well, Virginians can come to New York and get our culture, so you can have our trash. That did not go down very well in Virginia, as you can imagine.
But it still continues. The business still continues. I mean, it made headlines then, but
it does.
You know, the importation of garbage from New York.
It does.
Continues apace. Yeah.
And it's just so fascinating. We tend to think of garbage as trash, but to a lot of people, it's commerce. It has a lot of commercial value. So to get back to your question, how did I decide to write this book? I would say that after that controversy erupted, I figured, well, it's time to write a book about this.
Yeah. We're talking with Vivian Thompson. She's a professor of environmental sciences at the University of Virginia. Her new book is Garbage In, Garbage Out. So what's the theme of the book? To unpack this for us a little bit of some of the things that you write about and that you studied.
Well, what sort of the question that animates the book is, are the solutions that federal politicians and some state politicians, are the solutions that they've proposed for interstate trash transport the right ones? Now, because of a variety of factors over the past 15 years, there have been a lot of bills introduced in Congress to allow states to bar or block the import of trash into the state. And I was scratching my head wondering, well, okay, is that really the problem and is that really the solution? And what I do in the book is, in fact, to say, well, I'm not sure it's really interstate trash transport that's the problem. And I look in a variety of directions, and I find that there are other problems that I think are really more pressing in the trash arena.
Yeah, like?
Well, for example, you have to ask yourself the question, well, why is trash crossing state lines to a much greater extent before? After all, it has increased, the interstate trash transport has increased by about 25%, has increased by about 150% over the past 10 years. So you have to ask yourself, well, why is that happening? And one of the reasons
Isn't somebody in Manhattan, when they throw their garbage in the can, why isn't it going in their landfill? But instead, they're throwing it, you know, in Greenwich Village, somebody throws something in a garbage can. They're literally throwing it on the ground in Virginia.
They are. In other states as well.
Yeah.
It's not all coming to Virginia. Well, one of the reasons is that many landfills have closed around the country in the past 20 years. We used to have thousands of landfills in this country, and actually now we have less than 2,000. And one of the landfills that closed was the Fresh Kills landfill on
Staten
Island.
The big one,
yeah. So that's one reason, one of the reasons that there's a lot more trash going across state lines, going long distances than before, is all those many, many landfills closed. And the newer ones that have opened and the new ones that have more protective environmental standards tend to be much, much larger than before. So one of the issues that immediately appears when you look at this question is, well, we have fewer landfills before. They have better environmental safeguards, but they're huge. They are huge. One, for example, in Virginia, when completely built out, could be as tall as the Washington Monument.
What?
And could have the aerial extent of 100 football fields. So,
God.
Yeah, it just grabs your attention right there, I have to say.
And is that the one down on the James?
Well, I don't remember exactly which one it is.
Because I've always found it sort of sad, really, that Virginia is importing all this garbage, second largest importer of garbage in the country, and we're dumping it down there near Jamestown, where, you know, near the first permanent English settlement, where European culture really took a foothold in this country. It's just,
well, you've really fastened on one of the troublesome aspects, really, geographically of this problem, and that is in Virginia, we have about 15 what I call mega landfills, really huge landfills. 10 of those mega landfills are located in that southeast, central to southeast portion of the state.
Down in Tidewater,
Well, not all in Tidewater. So if you imagine a quadrant that's bordered by Richmond on the north and west and then goes down to that quadrant of the state.
Okay.
Those 10 mega landfills handle 70% of all the trash that's disposed in Virginia every year. They handle 70% of it, and 10% of the state's population lives down there. So you can see this. There's an incredible burden. So we've closed a lot of those local landfills that we had before, like the Ovi Ivy landfill and the new landfills that are opening up. They're much better protected from an environmental standpoint, but they're huge. They're regional landfills with a concentration of trash that really boggles the mind. And when they leak in the future, and they will leak in the future, EPA says all landfills will leak. It's not a question of if, it's a question of when. When they leak, they will become huge problems. But there's also this question of the environmental justice aspect of the situation, too. Does it really right that communities that are, some of them, quite rural, poor, and minority, is it really right that they should be burdened in such a fashion with these landfills? So you follow the logical chain here and see you've already gone from interstate trash transport to social justice to concentration of trash in ways that is really going to give us problems down the line. But then you have to ask the question, okay, well, why would these communities accept landfills? They don't have to, after all, right? It's a local decision as to whether to accept the offer of a landfill company to come in and build these huge landfills.
So these mega landfills are privately owned. It's not a Commonwealth of Virginia enterprise.
No, it's not a Commonwealth of Virginia enterprise. And another really fascinating part of this whole question is that states are the ones who are up in arms about trash coming across state lines, but they don't make the decisions about whether to locate a landfill in a particular place. It's local decisions. It's local cities and counties in the Commonwealth of Virginia. So you have to ask the question, well, why on earth would they do that? Why do we all of a sudden have these 15 mega landfills in Virginia and those 10 located in the southeast essential quadrant of the state?
Because you got poor rural municipalities who need money for their schools.
Money. And it comes back to one of the things we were mentioning at the beginning, money.
Yeah.
Trash is about money and power. And if you're a relatively rural, underpopulated, poor, and perhaps minority community in Virginia, you don't have money. And
this is one way to get it.
And this is one way to get it. And you don't necessarily have the power to overcome those who would say, well, I think this is a good thing for the community. Now, this is one of the really interesting debates. Are these sources of revenue cash for trash, really? Cash for trash?
Yeah.
Is that a bad thing or a good thing? And I guess what I can do is to describe how it happens and how these communities find themselves in the situation.
We're talking with Vivian Thompson. The book is Garbage In, Garbage Out. She's a professor of environmental sciences at the University of Virginia. And how much money are we talking about? I mean, if I'm on a county board and I have a meeting with a garbage guy who says, "Hey, I got a landfill I want to sell you. We want to put it in your backyard, and this is how much money we're talking about."
I'll give you a concrete example. Charles City County, which is a county that's just east of Richmond, between Richmond and Williamsburg, and is one of whose supervisors are some of the most vocal proponents of these kinds of landfills. In 2007, I think it was, Charles City County got $8 million from their mega landfill. This is a county of 7,000 people. So that's a lot
of
money.
That can go a long way, yeah.
It goes a long way. One of my students, actually, at the University of Virginia, came from one of these mega landfill communities. And, you know, he said, gosh, you know, without that money, what kinds of schools would we have? It's really meant a lot to our communities.
So for some people looking at this, this is just one of the best things about capitalism.
It's economic development.
Supply, demand, money, this is economic development.
Yeah. And if you ask the people in New York City, for example, so is it really right that you should be sending your trash off to these communities in Virginia? Well, you know, New York City officials will say, hey, we had our landfill, it was awful and polluting, and we closed it down. That was a good thing, right? Now we're sending the trash to these much better protected landfills. That's a good thing, right? And what's more, these communities are reaping benefits from the landfills. And we think that's not all bad.
Yeah.
So
you definitely could argue it round and argue it square, couldn't you?
You can. You can, definitely. And especially when, you know, in increasingly fiscally tight times when fewer funds are coming from the state level and the federal level. I mean, these communities in our way are saying, we want to be self-sufficient. We want to have economic development. This is one way we can do it. We have land. We can use it for trash.
Let's take a break here at the bottom of the hour. We're going to get local news update and a weather update. And Vivian, when we get back, let's talk about the other side of the coin. Clearly, there's some good that can come out of importing trash, and we've been looking at some of that. But there has to be some negative aspects to it as well that only an environmental scientist would really understand the true implications of, and we'll explore those when we get back. We're talking with Vivian Thompson, professor of environmental sciences at the University of Virginia. Her new book is Garbage In, Garbage Out, Solving the Problems with Long-Distance Trash Transport. This is Charlottesville Right Now, News Radio 1070, WINA. He said, "Drift the canyon, make folks cry when you play and sing." 38 minutes after 5 o'clock, we got 22 before 6. I hope you're doing well, having a nice evening. This is Charlottesville Right Now, News Radio 1070, WINA. Going to be mighty cold tonight, down into the teens in the valley. Low, low 20s here in central Virginia. Don't forget your critters. Let's rejoin our conversation with Vivian Thompson. She's a professor of environmental sciences at the University of Virginia and vice chair of the Virginia Air Pollution Control Board. Her new book is Garbage In, Garbage Out, Solving the Problems with Long-Distance Trash Transport. And Vivian, just to recap, your book is about this whole idea of we got more and more garbage and less places to put it. And Virginia just happens to be one of those ideal places, evidently, the second largest trash importer, just next to Pennsylvania.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
So we've got mega landfills in poor places, poor rural places in Virginia, where and again, just tell us about when we say mega landfill, what are we talking about? These places are massive installations.
They are. They are. They're a reflection of the economies of scale, really. Once private companies open these landfills, it makes sense for them economically to try to stuff as much trash in as possible. But the example that really sticks in my mind is the one landfill that, and I've forgotten the name of it, that could become as tall as the Washington Monument when built out completely and extend across 100 football fields. So the size of them just boggles the mind.
That is amazing. So yes. Mount Trashmore, which we see on the way to Virginia Beach,
yes,
is just nothing compared to what we're talking about now.
Yes. We used to have thousands of small to medium-sized landfills around this country. Now more and more we have many fewer but much larger landfills. That's one change that's happened in the past 20 years.
So one day archaeologists are going to be digging through the ground, and instead of these great monuments to the sun god, they'll be digging into these great mountains of garbage.
They'll learn lots about us that way. They will. That's what archaeologists do. Yeah.
So tell us now, let's look at some of the downsides to this. I mean, mm-hmm. from one angle, this is just capitalism at work. Mm-hmm. You know, boy, there's lots mm-hmm. of money for these right. localities who desperately need money. Right. You got entrepreneurs, these businesses that are making tons of money mm-hmm. with these mm-hmm. mega landfills. You got places in New York. Hey, we found a place for our garbage. Right. Send it to Virginia and, you know, take it up the James and dump it next to the James River. But there's some downsides that have profound, long-lasting implications, right?
Well, you might think of garbage as sort of an innocuous waste, but it's not. Landfills are sources of all kinds of toxic contaminants, both ones that come in as a function of being in the garbage and also that develop in the landfill itself through chemical reactions. So landfills are real toxic stews. The air pollution that comes from landfills is quite significant. For example, methane, one of our most potent greenhouse gases, perhaps a quarter to a third of all methane in the United States comes from landfills. So when you think of mega landfills, you really have to think of a concentration of pollution problems now and years in the future when the liners in these facilities begin to leak. So that's one thing we really need to be concerned about. And state officials, when there was a back and forth between Virginia and New York back in the late 1990s, said, "Hey, wait a minute, who's going to pay for the cleanup? Are the New Yorkers going to pay for the cleanup? I don't think so." So there's this whole question of pollution problems, current and future.
And that cleanup will have to happen, as you said earlier in the last segment. Even the EPA and the DEQ, everybody admits they're going to leak. No matter what kind of liners you have or how you create your landfill these days, they will absolutely 100% leak and pollute.
Yes. EPA says it's not a question of if landfills will leak. It's a question of when. And of course, there are all kinds of modern protections, but still, that's the full expectation. So there's a question of how are we going to pay for that? And one of the proposals that I float in my book actually follows on proposals that were introduced in the General Assembly and were never passed, just a sort of very modest $1 to $5 per person per year could go a long way in this country when you consider we generate about 250 million tons of trash nationally. $1 to $5 per ton, which comes to $1 to $5 per person per year, we'd quickly be building up a sort of super fund for the future. So I think that's one thing we really need to be concerned about. Then when you think of these mega landfill communities too, well, there are certainly the benefits that the communities are realizing from the landfills, but then there's the environmental justice question too, and that is, are potential or actual landfill communities really being given all of the tools in terms of information and political power and compensation? Are they really being taken advantage of? Are they just overly vulnerable, and are we taking care of them well enough? So,
do you mean when some of these businessmen come in representing the mega landfills, they know how to work these local supervisors?
Another way of putting it is that it's difficult when you're a small community to really muster the resources and the information and the data and to understand all of the technical jargon and to figure out, well, is this really a good thing or is this a bad thing?
I'm curious the percentage of the money that that's actually going to the locality versus the people who operate the landfill in terms of profit, because you mentioned that, you know, to one locality it could be worth $7 or $8 million in a year, but how much is the folks operating that private landfill make?
Well, you know, I've never seen a breakout in terms of profits, but to give some sense of perspective here, I think that some of these communities get about $1 per ton, perhaps, of trash that comes in, and the actual cost, if you take trash to one of these landfills, might be $30 a ton. So I don't know what portion of that is profit. I've actually never seen those kinds of statistics. But there's a real question in my mind about the fairness, about the environmental justice aspects of, the fact that in Virginia, we have all of these mega landfill communities in economically and politically vulnerable communities, and that's not unique to Virginia.
Yeah, there's not one in Fairfax County, put it that way. and there's not one in Albemarle County.
If you look around the country where they're being cited, this is not atypical, let's put it that way. So I think nationally, really, we need to take a look at how do we provide the right political protections and procedural protections for these kinds of communities. And that's another kind of theme that I explore in the book.
Yeah.
You asked the question, why is trash moving in such a big way over long distances? And I think we need not to overlook the fact that one of the reasons is that Americans make lots of trash. And one of the...
How do we compare to other countries? I'm just curious. Are we like one of the worst when it comes to creating garbage?
We're number one. Yes. And
well, we'd love to do things big, don't we?
We do. And in trash, it's as big as in other arenas, at least 30% more per capita. We make at least 30% per capita more trash than our equally affluent counterparts, for example, in European Union countries or in Japan.
Yeah.
That's a lot. And you sort of scratch the surface. Why is that? Well, we buy more stuff. That's certainly one reason for it. We're less aggressive in many areas of this country, certainly not all, but we're less aggressive, I think, than we could be when it comes to waste diversion and finding ways of simply making less waste. The great thing is that there are so many wonderful examples out there here in the United States and also abroad for ways in which we can do that.
To make less trash.
Well, for example...
We should point out... In terms of human history, this is a relatively brand new idea to us. I mean, even as a kid in the 70s, I never heard this idea of recycling and you make too much garbage. Mm-hmm. Really only started to come along in the 80s and then sort of blossom in the 90s. We're still getting used to this idea that we make too much trash.
We are. And but there are a lot of cities and counties in the United States have really moved ahead aggressively and doing great jobs. For example, if you look in Virginia, you find that Falls Church and Richmond recycle perhaps 50 to 60% of their waste stream, which is really pretty remarkable. And there are many, many examples across the country of localities that are instituting programs that are significantly diverting their waste. This is one thing that really came to my attention in a big way when I lived in Denmark for a year, where the Danes, like some Europeans, have really been attentive to this problem. And you could go to the neighborhood recycling center in Denmark, you could recycle anything. There were 30 bins, you could just practically anything that was in your waste stream, you could recycle. And we're getting better at that in the country.
What do you think it is? And we're talking with Vivian Thompson at the University of Virginia. Her new book is Garbage In, Garbage Out. I'm curious what you think it is that's standing in the way. Is it just industry? There are people who are profiting from the way things are and they don't want to see change? Or is there something else going on?
Well, I see so many communities that have adopted aggressive standards in this country that I think it has to do with finding ways of getting the information about the benefits of those programs and the way in which you institute them to those communities. And again, in my book, I say, well, I think this is a role for EPA. I think that EPA can be more proactive about setting waste diversion goals across the country and then helping communities to achieve those waste diversion goals and also to realize the savings. One statistic that jumped out at me when I was looking at the University of Virginia's recycling program is that couple of years ago, UVA said it saved $300,000 a year through its recycling program. By not having to trash various items and being able to recycle them, UVA saved money. So these are the kinds of I think there are barriers of information.
Yeah.
And also perhaps having a little bit of a push from the federal or the state level to actually divert more trash. I think it's maybe a combination. We need kind of those two kinds of incentives.
Yeah. We're talking with Vivian Thompson at the University of Virginia. The book is Garbage In, Garbage Out. Do you see any time soon any of this changing, or is Virginia on its way to being the number one trash importer in America?
Well, if Pennsylvania gets its wish, we'll go to number one. You know, Pennsylvania, speaking of incentives and disincentives, Pennsylvania's been enormously creative. Pennsylvania has, by all accounts, brought down the amount of trash that goes into its state. And the way it does
So they don't want to be number one anymore.
They don't want to be number one anymore. And what they've done is to institute a tax on all trash. Remember I talked about a modest tax that we could, that people would probably barely notice that we could use to develop a super fund for the future. Well, Pennsylvania's already doing that. And as a result of this $5 or $6 per ton tax, which again comes to about $5 or $6 per person per year, because we each generate about a ton of trash a year, for a very modest amount.
One person generates a ton of trash per year.
A little bit less, maybe eight tenths of a ton, but close to a ton. We can sort of round up.
Yeah.
For $5 or $6 per person per year, the state of Pennsylvania is essentially deflecting trash to other states. So I think if Pennsylvania has its way, we'll certainly be number one. Their modest tax, I think, is having the desired effect.
That's an accolade I wouldn't want to see Virginia have.
No, I don't think so.
It bumps me out. I mean, I truly love this state like a person, a member of the family.
Yes.
And to wake up one day and see Virginia's the number one importer of trash, most of it coming from New York and the Northeast Corridor.
Well, actually, that's something that the more you look at the statistics that finds it's really not true. And this is one reason I decided that interstate trash transport is not really the problem we need to fix. If you look at where the trash is coming from, is disposed of in Virginia every year, close to 90% of it comes from within Virginia or from our neighbors, Maryland, the District, and North Carolina. So really, there's only about 10 or 12% that's coming from further away than just our neighbors. So we're generating a lot of trash here. We're taking trash from our neighbors, and we're taking a relatively small amount from far away.
Interesting. What made Virginia such the choice spot for these mega landfill operators that they just started, counting the dollar bills and then headed to Virginia?
Good question. We can only
versus North Carolina or West Virginia.
Only speculate that about that. Free ability for local zoning ordinances to zone for mega landfills, relatively inexpensive land, willingness of communities to welcome them in. I think that those are certainly factors that were at play. And also, you have to realize when all of those landfills were closing around the country, many small communities were saying, oh no, what are we going to do? We have to pay to close down the old landfill and pay for those environmental safeguards. We don't have that money. And then when we close it down, where are we going to put our trash? So all of these pressures and economic factors were brought to bear. Also recognize, of course, we've got I-95, easy mode of transport.
The port, yeah.
The James, the Rappahannock, we've got rivers that garbage can be barged up. So in a way, it's a great place to transport trash in and out. And I think all of those factors came into play.
Yeah. Vivian Thompson is a professor of environmental sciences at the University of Virginia. The new book is Garbage In, Garbage Out. You talk about one of the solutions being more aggressive about making less garbage, making less waste that needs to be dumped. So I would see, you know, what the big local story, this big recycling facility that Pete Van der Linde, it's part of the solution. It's the new model of doing things.
It is. Actually, the sort of bottom line in my book is I think that the main thing we need to be doing is to take more responsibility for our trash in the United States. And part of that is certainly generating less waste, which I think certainly some national waste diversion goals and helping localities achieve more recycling and waste diversion, I think that would certainly help. I think taking more responsibility also means sending it shorter distances, perhaps having more of a sense that you make trash and you take care of it locally. That's a tradition in other countries in the European Union and in Japan, and I think we should study perhaps ways of instituting more of a sort of sense of you don't send it so far away, you take care of it at home. Taking responsibility for trash also means to me developing those funds to take care of current and future contamination problems and regulating electronic waste. We haven't really talked about e-waste in this interview, but you know, e-waste is a huge part of our problem now.
Example would be
Computers.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Cell phones. There are three Americans, by some estimates, own 3 billion items of electronic equipment.
Yeah.
And a
lot of those things are full of poisons. I mean, even those new
mercury.
Those new light bulbs are that everybody's raving about. They're
mercury.
Full of mercury.
They are. They
yeah.
are.
I don't have any in my house for that very reason.
There have been recommendations at the federal level for a while for EPA to get more aggressive about regulating e-waste. And I certainly think that that's something that we could do by way of taking more responsibility for our waste. And again, setting up new guidelines and compensation targets for these vulnerable communities that find it difficult to say no when companies come up to them and say, well, we're going to be all this cash if you just take a little bit of trash in your community. So the book explores all of these aspects of taking responsibility for trash and sets it within an international framework. And it was just an enormous treat to research and write the book.
Congratulations on the book.
Thank
Vivian
you.
Thompson, she's assistant professor of environmental sciences at the University of Virginia. The new book is Garbage In, Garbage Out, Solving the Problems with Long Distance Trash Transport. Thank you for being here. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you. It's been my pleasure.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.